Welcome everyone to episode 105 of Bike Club. This is Eileen.
This is Lynn.
This is Stephanie.
And this is Josh.
And if Shannon shows up, we will pipe her in, patch her into our call. But, I'm so excited. After the sort of the lull of the end of True Blood, I'm so excited the Vampire Diaries is back. And they did not disappoint, in my opinion. But I can't wait to talk to the rest of you about it. But before we start, this is Bike Club Show, where each week we sink our teeth into your favorite fantastic shows. Our website, bikeclubshow.com. And we're also on Facebook, facebook.com/bikeclubshow. And on Twitter, at Bike Club Show. And you can also email us, bikeclubshow@gmail.com. Now we start each and every week with our wine selection of the week. And tag, you're it, Stephanie.
All right. Well, today was one of the first rare summer days in San Francisco. And so I decided to go to the park around 5 p.m. to watch the sunset and brought out a Riesling by Pacific Rim. Now, this was actually a gift from one of my coworkers. And so, I just kind of drank it without knowing what to expect. But, you know, I knew that it was hot outside, it was beautiful, and I had some brie and a sourdough loaf of bread. And, you know, this was just like the perfect,
deluxe
evening. Yeah, it was really good. Just be warned, I actually am not a fan of Rieslings. Like, I don't like the sweet wines. I enjoy more of like the dry red wines. But anyway, this one was actually not too sweet. So if you're like me and, you know, are a little weary about sweet wines, this one's a great middle of the road one. It's not too sweet. The actual description says that, let's see, it shows, you know, intense notes of apple, honey, and grapefruit. So it's kind of fruity. It's not too sweet, and it's just really good cold with some cheese and bread. And so I give it 3.5 fangs. It was one of the better Rieslings that I've had.
Nice.
I should also mention, it's I looked up the price, even though it was a gift. I guess they sell it retail for about $20 on the company's website. So I bet you if you can find it retail somewhere else, it might be a little cheaper.
All right. Wow.
What are you drinking?
Well, it's something that I had a couple weeks ago. I think I teased it and I said, I'll just save it for, you know, the finale of True Blood because we were in a hurry. And remember that day that we had the tech issues?
Oh, yeah.
So I saved the bottle, and this bottle is called Humanita. I guess it's Humanitas. So I think that's how you would say it. Let's see, it's a Healdsburg wine, so local here to California. And it says here, Humanitas, Latin for philanthropy, character, and human nature, embraces all that is the winery, making great wines of character and giving back to the community. Drink charitably. And I have the 2007 Cabernet Sauvignon from El Dorado County. This is a very fantastic wine. I'm going to give it 4 fangs, and I'll tell you why, because it's very, it's grapey, but not too grapey, and it's not smoky, but it's got a rich flavor that was really, really great right out of the bottle. I didn't even need to let it breathe. So I can't remember who gave this to me. I can't remember if it was a housewarming gift or whatever, whoever, because I don't know that we bought it, but I would now. I would totally pay for this again. Delicious wine, I think, would go really great with steaks or pasta. And completely worth whatever price it is. I don't even know how much this costs. I guess I have to go onto the website, humanitaswines.com. And let's see here. 2000, looks like, I guess they're a little expensive. Some of these wines are like $40-$50.
Oh, wow.
I bet this must be. Yeah, this is a special occasion wine. Well, wait a minute. 2007, Syrah. No, actually, it might be around $20, $30. We don't usually do expensive wines here, but when we do, hopefully it is worth it, and I definitely think this one is. So we have the link to our website. Okay. What did I say? 4 fangs, right? Yeah, I do believe that. And let's go ahead and get into our news. I did not watch Secret Circle, but because it's witches, it's supernatural. I know it didn't, like you mentioned last week, Stephanie, it's not a bite you know, there's no bite, but maybe they'll run into vampires. Who knows?
Right.
You watched it, right? I haven't watched it. So what are your thoughts, Stephanie?
I did. Well, it was Shannon and I both watched it, and maybe we can get Shannon's thoughts on it when she gets back. But since she watched it, I decided to go ahead and download it free on iTunes. It's still there, free of charge. And you know what? Like, I actually liked it. You know, it's the pilot episode, and so with any show, you're going to, you know, have that first episode where you're getting to know all the characters, like all of them. There's a set of, you know, teenagers, and there's a set of adults. And apparently the show is just as much about the adults as it is about the children and, or not children, the teens. But right now, you know, we're just getting into it. It's definitely a romance. There's mischievous actions by some bad witches, bad teen witches. And, you know, the adults are pretty sketchy themselves. And so there's a lot of drama. And if you liked Life Unexpected, Lux plays Cassie in this new show. And, you know, her mannerisms are kind of the same. So if you liked her in Life Unexpected, you will like her in Secret Circle. But anyway, I like the premise. I like there's a lot of mystery. It seems like there's a lot of backstory, and I look forward to future episodes.
So it didn't disappoint. Do you think there's room for growth outside of witches, or do you think there'd be too much into Vampire Diaries territory?
Yeah, you know, like from the pilot, I mean, and just basing it off the pilot, I don't think that there's room for crossover. It takes place in a town where it's just, you know, kind of creepy for the new girl because everybody seems to be tied to witchcraft, at least the people in her circle. Every new friend that she's made is, you know, got an agenda. Even, you know, the adults or the parents of the teens in the show also have their own agenda. And so, you know, they didn't allude to any other sort of supernatural powers, like, at all. And I know that this show is made by the same dude who made The Vampire Diaries.
Right.
But they seem different enough. Like, it's almost to the point where if Damon or Stefan showed up in this new city, I'd be like, come on. I'd be like, no. It would actually, to me personally, I would feel that it'd kind of ruin it for me.
Okay.
I'd like them to be separate.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it'd be nice that it's a show just about witches, you know, like, I think you can probably dig in more on some of the dramas within that, you know? So,
I mean, at most, maybe they'd throw Bonnie in there, but even that is kind of stretching.
They'll just bring Uncle John in for you.
Please don't. No, he's dead.
He just stops by to get it, you know, to eat at the local cafe.
I don't know, because, you know, like, and, you know, we'll get into the recap later, but Bonnie wasn't actually in this episode.
I know.
She's visiting somewhere. So I don't remember the city name where the Secret Circle takes place. But if there was a crossover, Bonnie would be it. I really don't feel it's necessary.
Okay. Well, good enough. Thank you very much for the report on that. And we have a little bit of Twilight news, right? Who put that
in? I just saw on the Twilight's Facebook page, they are already pimping out tickets for The Breaking Dawn Part 1. It's going to go on sale on October 1st.
Oh, man. Wow.
And it's for the midnight show.
Wait, really? October 1st for the November 18th or whatever?
Yeah, check out their Facebook page. I mean, I don't have a link or anything. I actually looked at Fandango to double check, but
I saw that somewhere too. I don't remember where, but it was buy your Breaking Dawn tickets. I was like, wow.
But I figure it's on like the official Twilight Saga page. It must be true. I don't know. But yeah, they said this is, I'll read it on September 9th, which is actually last week that they posted this. Oh, no, that's not it. Oh, I'm sorry.
I remember a couple years ago, or is it last year or the year before, we bought the tickets really early as well.
Okay.
But
posted this on Thursday at 4 p.m. It says, get your tickets starting Saturday, 10-1. How early will you start camping out for your midnight show?
So, yeah.
So, Lynn, are you going to do it?
It's about 6 weeks. I think, it's coming up really fast because it's already kind of like third week of September, so I think it's quickly approaching.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I was surprised how it was not very crowded in the last Twilight movie.
Yeah.
Too though. Remember?
Yeah. I do remember that. I think that I don't know. And then we thought the panel was kind of low in terms of numbers.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Or the frenzy or the frenetic, like screaming, wasn't so bad. So I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure. I don't know what it's gonna be like in terms of attendance, but I know I am still very excited to watch it. I do plan on going. Like I'm still, you know, creating events around this date of the release. Like, oh, my sister's gonna come in town. You know, maybe I'll buy a ticket.
Oh yeah.
So
are you gonna watch the midnight showing?
You know, I'm not really a midnight show. But then again, it comes out on a Friday, doesn't it? Like, when is November 18th?
Oh,
like,
November
18th. It's on a weekend, I might.
That's true.
It's a Friday, yeah.
I don't think I'm...
Then, are they going to do what they did before with the other premieres? Have the two, like, have the other Twilight movies play before the midnight showing? Remember they did that like mm-hmm. you could buy a whole package.
Oh yeah. I don't think I can watch all of them in a row.
Yeah, no.
Like, what are you like, saying?
It's just not gonna happen, sorry. Oh my God,
totally not dedicated.
No, I can't do that. It's too many. There's too many movies in a row. All right, well, there you go. If you want your midnight tickets, October 1st. All right, moving on to True Blood news. I apparently this week was really big for vampires, former vampires, current vampires on the Late Night with Jimmy Fallon show. Alexander Skarsgård was on this past Monday, and he was promoting Straw Dogs. They didn't even talk about True Blood at all. But it was funny because on the same episode, Sarah Michelle Gellar was on, and obviously she was promoting her new show, Ringer. So, you know, the Slayer and the Vampire on the same episode. But we have a link to the interview, and it was really funny because Alexander talks about this. He just tells a story about his grandmother in Sweden, and, you know, they live in a small town, and how, like, whoever's around at home at 1 o'clock, they wheel out grandma because she's in a wheelchair now, and then they give her alcohol. She gets alcohol. Then they wheel her to a bar. It's just a funny story
that Debbie gives.
And then they show a clip of the film and that kind of thing. So it's a really good interview with Alexander. So definitely don't miss that.
Wait. I just want to say real quick. I did watch the Ringer.
Oh, okay. Yeah, since we're here on Sarah Michelle Gellar.
I liked it. Yes, I liked it. I mean, I wasn't like blown away. I wasn't like, oh my God, that's incredible. But right. I liked it, and I will continue watching. So,
see, I thought you would. Yay.
Yeah.
Me too. I was looking for season two or episode two, and I guess it's not out yet.
Right.
But I liked it as well.
I see. I think it's worth you know, sticking with. So mm-hmm. I think hopefully they only have, to go up. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I think they started at a good pace. You know, for pilots are hard. Either you go, why would I want to watch this? And then they get better later. And it's like, ugh, I hate that when, you know, you have to wait like 7 episodes.
Like the Vampire Diaries.
Well, yeah. Vampire Diaries were only 3 or 4 episodes, but some shows you have to wait almost, you know, if there's 22 episodes a season, you have to wait till almost episode 10 till you like it. And it's like, God, right. That's a long, it's 10 weeks of my time. I don't know. But this one I thought started at a good clip. So, yeah, I'm glad you liked it. So, you know, we'll keep tabs. Not really a show for us, but, you know, because Sarah Michelle Gellar is in it, maybe we'll all just go, oh, yeah, episode 2. Good. Yeah. Okay.
Exactly. On Jimmy Fallon was really funny, too.
It was.
She mentioned, like, she enjoyed working by herself, oh, with herself, with her, because you know she's got like the.
She works twin. Very well with herself.
Yes, exactly. So it's really funny.
Yep. And then she played Taboo later with you know they play games with the audience members, and so she was on one team, and they played Taboo against Jimmy's team. So she had one.
Nice. I didn't know her husband, Freddie Prinze Jr.
Yeah.
Is good friends with Jimmy Fallon.
I know.
I found out on the that interview. That interview. Like,
So also on Jimmy Fallon, though, this week, which actually it was just the other day, was Paul Wesley was on the show.
Hey, Paul Wesley.
And it was good to see him. He was funny, too, because yes. He was talking about being from New Jersey and how, you know, if he hadn't got the Vampire Diaries, there's a good chance he would have been on the Jersey Shore.
Yep.
But then his friends, when he goes home, they try to cover him up because, you know, he's like, I'm too thin and I'm pale. I'm not tan like the Jersey Shore people. They're like, dude, you're scaring the ladies. Put on the shirt, bro.
He used to hang out with the goth crowd when he goes home.
I guess. So.
Yeah. So he didn't specifically say which town he was from. I thought it was a little bit kind of funny because he was like, oh, I'm 20 minutes from the shore, but then 30 minutes from the city. So I was like, okay, where is that?
Maybe he didn't want to say I out know. Loud, you know, because he probably still goes home and he doesn't want to tell anybody. But I thought he had a cute interview too.
And yeah, he was awesome.
Yeah, it was funny. And then he talked about his mom, you know, but anyways, check that interview out as well, because it's a good one. Okay, well, let's go ahead and get into our recap of The Vampire Diaries, Season 3, Episode 1, entitled The Birthday. Okay, this episode started off so scary, but I loved it. And I don't know. I guess overall impressions, I'm really, really happy that this show is back. What about you guys?
Me too.
Yay, yep. Very happy.
I agree.
And so we see this girl looking for her dog, and then all of a sudden Klaus appears, and then I'm thinking, oh, you're so dead. You're so dead. Whoever you are, you're so dead. I'm like, oh, no. And he tries to have an American accent. Did you guys notice that when he's talking to the girl at the first
beginning? Yeah, when he's trying to give this little story about running out of gas. Yeah.
Right. And then it turns out he's looking for someone. We don't know who that is yet. And then, he gets inside and there's another girl in there and she ends up telling.
Oh, wait. One thing. When he got inside, wasn't that a huge debate we had from a previous season? Like whether a vampire can just glamour someone into inviting you in, because then it makes that limitation of vampires kind of useless.
Yeah, but he glamoured her outside, is my guess.
Okay.
I don't think he glamoured her in the house. She was already glamoured, right?
Outside. He's like, oh, why don't you show me some southern hospitality? Yeah.
Okay.
What and was then still I think lame.
I thought it was his roommate, the girl's roommate, who was forced to invite them in.
Well, she invited Stefan in, but it was outside. It was when Klaus was outside with the first girl that he glamoured her and said, yeah, southern hospitality. But that, to me, that it is a little bit lame, because then that means like, well, why doesn't every vampire just always do that? Like,
right.
Then there's
yeah,
no
but
real...
he did it outside to me, not inside.
Why is that different?
Because inside you're protected. We were debating this.
We were debating this
about True Blood when Tara got glamoured, and I don't think that was right when Franklin was able to stand outside the door and glamour her from outside, and she was inside. Whereas this girl is outside, so it's totally different.
Right.
Because the girl had no defense; she wasn't inside the house. So.
Right. Okay. That does that makes
sense. That makes sense. Help. Huh.
Okay.
And so they get that information. I guess they're looking for somebody. And then, oh, man. And then Stefan goes and just, you know, Klaus tells him, okay, kill this one. And then make this
one. Kill that one slowly.
Slowly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which is, you know.
When they closed when Klaus left and, closed the door and Stefan was to take care of things, right? Mm-hmm. I had a slight feeling. I was thinking, oh, maybe Stefan will just kind of like pretend.
He'll let them go somehow. Yeah.
Yeah. But
Nope.
And what did you guys think later when Stefan and Alaric went looking after they got the tip and they found the bodies?
Oh, man.
Oh, and Damon
so
and Damon. Yeah. Oh, that was pretty gruesome. Like, yeah. I guess like Alaric was like, well, how do you know it was Stefan who did this? And mm-hmm. then apparently that's, it's Stefan's style to remove the body parts, and then he feels remorse and he puts them back together.
Right, because he blacks out after doing that, then wakes up and his, and then he's like, yeah. But, you know, I mean, if he's really the Ripper, I mean, it's got to be pretty gruesome, right? So I kind of expected something like that, but I didn't realize they were just going to sit up on a couch and be dead with their heads cut off, and he just puts them back on. That's kind of...
Now, did it confuse you guys, like, how Damon got this tip, or even Elena did, how they got this tip when they got to the house and obviously no police had been there or anything yet?
Well, the tip was from Caroline's mom, right?
So yeah, but...
Caroline's mom is helping them, I guess, because she knows about Caroline.
Yeah.
Right?
Is that... I think Caroline's mom is working. Remember last season there was that, you know,
Had that kind of a reconciliation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
When she found out, you know, that her daughter was a vampire. And so
maybe she's just kind of steering clear of any vampire crimes, even though she knows about it.
You mean...
I don't know. I just thought it was weird, like, how...
Who's steering clear? The mom?
The Caroline's mom.
Well, they had a tip, but the tip wasn't that the girls were dead or in danger, right? Because I don't think they knew that. I can't remember what the nature of the tip was.
I don't know. I'll have to go back and rewatch that. But I don't know. I found it a little odd. Like I'm sure there's some explanation of why no cops had been there yet. I just
was Uncle John.
How did anyone
had been at the place. I see. Yeah. And who got the... Why did she get the tip and then no one had shown up? I see what you're saying.
It's like Damon found the bodies that way. Damon figured out that the head comes off.
And there was a lot of time because he went with Alaric. So it wasn't like, you know, they had to drive out there.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It was kind of unrealistic to me, but at the same time, I just accepted it because I was like, whoa. You know,
like, that's true. Like, yeah, I hadn't really thought about that.
Evil. Oh, I didn't even think about it. So I don't know. It's fine.
Yeah, that was the one thing that confused me a bit because the house was in Tennessee somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And there, like Mystic Falls is in, where is Mystic
North
Falls?
North Carolina, I thought, right?
Yeah. So I just thought during the episode that part, I felt like they were kind of doing the driving seemed a little bit unreal. How they
cheated on the time a bit.
Yeah, so that was kind of hard to. It's not realistic to me.
It's just how like in movies they think, you know, they portray, you know, driving from San Francisco to LA being like half an hour or something.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I'm here and I'm there, all within the one night.
Good point, Stephanie. If anybody can clarify for that, let us know. Email us. In the meantime, Elena's having a big 18th birthday party. And we'll go back to Stefan and Klaus. They've got a lot going on. Caroline's throwing her a big party. I kind of liked that Caroline was kind of back to her sort of semi, not bitchy, but sort of like princess self. But then she's also humble. You know, it's sort of like taking one part of our old self and melding the new part of her. I don't know if you guys felt that at all.
Yeah,
but when she's like, hey, because she's, you know, the first time we see her, she's got bags. She's like been shopping, obviously. And she's, you know, and she's planning this party. So she's kind of still like Princess Caroline, you know. But then, you know, she's also still the new Caroline who we've all grown to love and not that, you know, sort of bitchy Caroline from the first season. So I don't know. There was an air about her that I guess I liked seeing her a little bit normal instead of always like, oh my God, what is going to happen to Caroline? Which changes at the end of the episode.
She almost has that, she has a bit of confidence in her because she's stronger and I guess she has the vampire side of her. I think before there was a bit of insecurity and she was unsure of her relationship with Matt back then, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, and then also, you know, she didn't really get along with her mom too.
Yeah.
A little bit. So I think maybe those were all factors. And now I think she reconciled with her mom. She's stronger and more confident. So less bratty too. Cause I think,
that's what it bratty. Is. I liked it. I don't know. There was something about her that I was like, there's a change from that first minute I saw her, but I liked it. you know? And so she's throwing the party, and I guess everybody thinks that she and Tyler are dating, and she's like, no, we're not. And Tyler's like, well, my mom thinks so. You know, everybody thinks so, because Matt is totally avoiding Caroline, and especially Caroline and Tyler whenever they're together. And there's that scene in Mystic Grill, and, you know, they make Jeremy go out there and take the order instead of, you know, Matt taking the order.
Did you guys love how Caroline got all jealous that Tyler brought a date to the party?
Yes, that was awesome. Yeah. When she clamored that the girl was like, thanks, now leave.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
That was so
and then
awesome.
And that made Tyler, you know, ask Caroline to, you know, just tell him what she really wants. And then she just kissed him, and I was like, "Oh,
it was about time." I was really kind of like, "Come on, get it on already!"
Yeah,
yeah, because they had that whole scene about the soup. It's a supernatural. It's a vampire thing, you know, about the hormones and all of that
stuff.
Oh,
they were like, "I'm so horny." Both of them, I was like, this is trouble.
Oh, gosh.
Well, when he admitted to her, he's like, well, I just, you know, she's like, why are you taking that girl, you know? And he's like, well, I just need something, okay? I'm horny. And that was just a funny, funny scene. It's a wolf thing, too. Blah, blah, blah. But yeah, I totally got the sense that they had been hanging out all summer.
Yep.
And they had been telling each other things. And, you know, even back to that scene where Tyler's like, so you kissed him, you know, to Elena, and when Caroline and they were like prepping for the party and whatnot, and then they were just kind of discussing that. It was obvious that Caroline had told him everything, and then, you know, Tyler was given the male's perspective, like, but, you know, so you kissed Damon, and so now he's gonna think, you know. I like that conversation there, because it was just, you know, pretty evident that they were pretty tight and were kind of telling each other everything. So, and Elena didn't seem to mind, so she was a little shocked, but that was okay. So the party goes and it's hopping. I didn't think it was going to be that big of a party either. Did you guys? I mean, I know Elena said just a few people, and I knew that there would be a few more, but man, that was a rager.
Oh, Caroline just did the party for herself.
Yeah.
Right. She just wanted to party.
You think?
And they were at, were they at Damon's house?
Yeah, that was the Salvatore mansion.
Yeah. Oh. Well, yeah, because Damon was glamoring the kids to not drink the pricey booze.
That's true.
That's right.
That's very true.
That's a lot of work. You got to go to all those kids.
I know. So the party's going on. It's thump, thump, thumping. And Elena's just kind of, I don't know. Where's Stefan? And, you know, she in the meantime is, you know, she's trying to figure out what's going on. And with all these little tips, and Damon's making her feel like the tips that they're getting is worthless. In the meantime, we're finding out that he's actually following up on all those tips, it seems like, or at least mapping them out, right?
Yeah, like really closely. He's got like this whole closet of like newspaper clippings and a map of everywhere there's an incident, because he's thinking it's Stefan. And I don't know, like I see why he was conflicted, though, is because he wants to find Stefan, but he knows that the Stefan that they find isn't going to be the Stefan that Elena wants.
Right.
Yeah.
And so he's like, well, you know, he doesn't want to give her hope, but he does still want to find his brother.
Right.
It's kind of sad.
All really sad.
Yeah.
All right. So.
Well, the other thing is also Damon is cleaning up after Stefan too a bit.
That's true.
So that it doesn't get traced back. And then and that's partly why they went to that house where the girls are. Where the girls were, so that they can kind of clean it up. And then that's when they also discovered, they came upon that hidden basement where they have the chains and whatever for werewolves.
Yeah, so they figured out, werewolves. So that brings us back to Stefan and Klaus, and they find this guy. What was his name? Ray Sutton. They, you know, those girls that are now savagely killed. gave them a tip on where to find Ray Sutton. They were looking for this guy, and turns out they were looking for him because he's a werewolf, and they basically want to find out where his pack is, and they glamour the entire bar. They find him at a bar. They glamour the entire bar so nobody can help them. Or glamour, I should say compel. They say compel in the show, right?
Not glamour. Yeah, compel.
Yeah, that's
sorry. Hilarious. And then they you know, are using kind of some torture skills with the darts and stuff, which is pretty sad, right?
They use vervain. Was it? No.
Oh, wolfsbane.
Wolfsbane. Yeah. Oh, my God. They were so, they were really
Yeah, Stefan
clever.
Was mean.
Yeah.
Stefan, he brought out that little satchel of wolfsbane, and he's like, what's it going to be? You know, the truth or wolfsbane? Like, ah, crap.
Well, it seems to me like part of his Ripa self from, you know, the past is coming, you know, mm-hmm. to the forefront, or at least he has to put that front out there in front of Klaus. Otherwise, you know, Klaus's plans will be to go back and kill everybody he loves. So, yeah, so they eventually, I think they're eventually, well, like, did they get the, they got the information out of him, right? I mean, he
yeah,
was, yeah.
Yeah.
Took a while, but, you know, next thing we know, he's, you know, pinned up against the wall and lots of blood and whatever, but they get the information out of him. And in the meantime, I guess Klaus finds out that Damon has been looking for them and is, you know, dangerously close. And so Stefan decides, you know, to convince Klaus to let him go and let him take care of Damon. And, you know, Klaus knows take care of Damon doesn't mean that he's going to kill Damon. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I guess it was sort of a test of like, oh, are you going to come back or not? And out of all of that, I don't know how many of you guys were surprised that Stefan took out Andy. R.I.P.
I was super surprised.
Me
like,
too.
I didn't think he'd go to that low of a... I don't know. I thought that was really mean to kill his brother's girlfriend, like just straight up kill her. I mean, they weren't, it's not like Damon and Andy were going to like, you know, be together forever or anything. It didn't, there wasn't like that attachment there, but I guess Damon cared about her enough. And, yeah, he made her jump off the scaffolding or whatever.
I think I wasn't surprised because of what he did with the two girls, you know, mm. how they savagely kind of tortured and, you know, killed or dismembered like the two girls from the house earlier. The way he, I guess, killed Andy was really cruel, you know, glamoring her and then like making her fall off. But mm-hmm. I thought that how I felt like Damon somehow reached Stefan a little bit when I think Damon had mentioned something about Elena
or her birthday or something.
Yeah, something related, maybe not specifically, but it was kind of like indirectly mentioning that, you know, they're looking
there's
for
a birthday
him.
Girl,
and,
yeah,
there's a birthday girl look, you know, wanting to know where you're at or how you are or blah blah blah.
Because
then
point.
I think that was when it kind of maybe hit him, and which led us to the later on in the scene, because mm-hmm. you saw a little bit of a shift in his emotions, you know. Mm. So,
oh,
so,
good
yeah.
point. Good point. Yeah. So you know, Stefan's kills Andy Starr, and that. Let's just go ahead and skip to that scene. Stefan goes back to Klaus and says he took care of it, and. You know, Klaus kind of edges, you know, kind of nudges him on and says, you know, what is about family? You know, you're always going to love your brother or something like that. And, you know, Stefan's kind of stoic and doesn't say anything. And then later on, he goes outside and he makes a phone call. That was probably my favorite scene of the entire
yes.
episode.
Oh, that got me so bad.
I firmly am still team Stefan. I know he's horrible right now,
yep.
but I am so on Stefan's side right now because he's doing this out of the good of everybody. I mean,
mm-hmm. he did it to save Damon.
He's doing it to save his brother and basically to save all the people that he loves because mm-hmm. Klaus is just going to go after everybody that Stefan loves is pretty much what I think will happen.
Right.
So he has to do this and it's painful. He doesn't want to do this. We know this is not him. He is not that that Stefan from the past that killed all those people. He is a different guy now. He's moved on. He's remorseful. And that's just, you know, I just saw all of that pain there. And I absolutely love that scene. I almost teared up. I thought that was really well done.
Yeah, I actually teared up. And then when Elena realized that it was like Stefan, mm-hmm. I think that part, it really hit me, because their love is so strong that they carry for each other so much that like she could sense it was him, but he couldn't say anything because of his position, you know, or the situation that he's in with Klaus. So she reassures him, you know, mm-hmm. that she's there for him no matter mm-hmm. what. So, yeah.
And she knows what he's doing too. Like, uh-huh, exactly. Told her.
She knows. Yeah. I was so worried she wasn't going to pick up. She's like, you know, putting her stuff away.
Yeah.
And I'm like, pick up the phone. Yeah, I thought exactly. It was going to go to voicemail or something. I'm like, no. I was just a little worried. And then she picked up the phone. I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
Yay. Yeah. But
there's no way he could have said happy birthday or said anything, because Klaus probably could have heard him.
That's true.
I was surprised he was even able to get out to the parking lot of that bar.
I guess Klaus is just torturing that poor Ray guy still. You're going to be part of my hybrid race, blah, 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 whatever.
That's so scary.
And I guess before we talk about the end of the episode, which is shocking, ties up Caroline and Tyler, let's go back to Bonnie a little bit, speaking of the witches and Jeremy and Matt and that whole situation. So I was kind of bummed that we didn't see Bonnie, that she was just stuck in a phone mm-hmm. the entire time. But I guess maybe she'll have a bigger part in the next episode or something. What do you
maybe
guys think?
Maybe she's joining the secret circle.
That's got to be it.
It's her guest appearance on the secret circle, which is, that's who she's visiting, right? Wherever the secret circle people are. Oh, man. It was just kind of weird. But then going back to Jeremy, his whole storyline, all of that was pretty scary. Every time they'd show up, Anna Vicky. Yeah. I mean, were you guys scared? Like, the lights would go off and
Anna has to be so creepy.
I know the whole episode was pretty creepy, but I like that actually. It was like, oh, cool. It's kind of more mature, or I don't know, Scream-like. I don't know. How did you like seeing your girl again, even if it was just very fast, Josh?
Oh, I liked it. Yeah, because I was like, at the same time, I was like, oh, this sucks for Jeremy. But I'm like, oh, but let it be on it. Come on. let her say, she didn't get to say anything. I was like, let her say something, damn it.
Yeah,
she did almost touch him, but.
Yeah.
I didn't notice her name was in the credits again.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
so she's definitely in for the season, Josh.
Woo!
They're
asking for help, it sounds like. And it seems like, what are they, stuck in purgatory or something? They're stuck in this sort of world ever since Bonnie's spell to, you know, keep Jeremy alive or something? That's kind of how I feel. What do you guys think?
I mean, that's a typical ghost, you know, as we saw in the last season of True Blood, you know, for a ghost hangs around because there's something unresolved before they leave the material plane. So, it could be something like that. Mm-hmm. But I don't know exactly what he would need to do to help them. So,
Well, were you guys surprised that he did end up revealing, you know, what he's seeing to Matt?
Yeah, but I was actually happy that he got it off his chest. So Matt and Jeremy are bros now, right? I mean, what is
all
going on?
They're like BFFs. Like,
it was all just the pot.
It was. They were like drinking and doing drugs. And I was like, the parents are not going to like this show. And then they have.
I like that Alaric felt so guilty as a guardian. He was like,
I'm just walking away. Bye.
Elena, you're 18. You can handle this.
Yeah, see you later. Bye. Does he mean he's not leaving the show, right? He's just moved out.
No, he moved out.
I thought for a minute there, I'm like, oh, does that mean he's leaving the show?
That would be a lame exit.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
He's just out of the house. That's what I'm assuming.
He seems like he's still coping with what happened in Jenna.
Yeah. But I guess I was just happy for Jeremy that he was able to just tell the truth, even though Matt sort of dismissed it. you know, like, yeah, I think of her every day or whatever.
Yeah, he didn't believe in ghosts, even though he knows about, you know, vampires and werewolves. He doesn't.
Right.
He's like, ghosts, it's a little bit too much.
After all of that, it's like, come on.
Where do you draw the line?
Yeah, I mean, and he knows about the witches because obviously he knows that Jeremy was brought back from death.
Mm-hmm. Right. So he knows everything and he won't believe in. He knows everything, but he won't believe in ghosts. Okay.
I don't know. I mean, I think he's just having a hard time coming to terms with it because that's his sister.
Yeah, that's true.
He can take a lot of stuff, but it'd be hard for him to just believe that his sister is back. Like, I feel like it's hard for him to take down. So, it's denial, but he'll come around to it, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, hopefully he can be there for Jeremy if things
because Jeremy really hasn't even told Bonnie. He hasn't told her.
Yeah, that's true.
Only Matt knows right now.
Yep.
And he was under the influence, so
yeah,
it's half aware.
All right. So moving back to Caroline and Tyler, who totally hook up this episode, and she sneaks out of the house.
Attempts to
sneak out of the house, and you know Tyler's mom is there. And
you think it's going to be a typical, like, oops, ran into mom scene.
Mm-hmm.
But
so she must have put silver or something in Caroline's purse. Oh. Yeah. Something. Or vervain.
Must be vervain. Maybe she, like, smothered vervain all over her purse that burned Caroline's hand when she tried to leave. And then once the mom saw how it affected Caroline, then she shot her. I don't know if it was like darts or something. Or
I think it was vervain darts. I think it must have been vervain. I like Chris on our Facebook page. He says, Tyler's mom is such a bitch.
She is.
Oh, yeah.
She is.
I was just like, I think I did this. I went, oh, as soon as that happened, I'm like, no. Because I'm like, now I'm on the Caroline watch again. All season, last season.
Oh, yeah, every time you think Caroline's going to die.
We were all afraid Caroline was going to die. And we didn't want her to die because we like her as a vampire. Now I'm like, oh, great. Now what? So now, I mean, the only thing I'm thinking is, like, can Damon glamour Tyler's mom somehow so they could get, they can get Caroline back and Tyler's mom and can forget? I don't know.
Can you remind me, does Caroline, or does Tyler's mom know that Damon is a vampire?
Well, remember at the end of last season, there was a bit of, there was a conflict, but just like they didn't get along, Caroline's mom and Tyler's mom. They were kind of going at it, you know? And I think maybe a couple episodes before that, Tyler's mom found out about the whole vampire, whatever. And then all of a sudden, I felt like she changed really quickly and became this, she's like out to get the supernaturals or something like that.
I can't remember if she does if she knows or not. You're right. That's a good question.
But specifically Damon, I don't remember, but I know she knows about the whole vampire or whatever. Cause I think, I can't remember which episode, but there was.
Yes, she does know
something.
But does she know about the Salvatore brothers or not? That's what I couldn't remember.
Maybe that's why she, maybe Caroline's mom told her, Tyler's mom. And that's, during that time when they weren't talking, you know?
Yeah, that was
You're right. Maybe.
I'm surprised Tyler hasn't woken up. Like, he's such a, you know, keen senses. Did he not know his mom was, like, attacking Caroline right outside his bedroom? He's, like, so asleep.
No, yeah, he's like tired out.
He just
I don't know.
Yeah, you did say it. It's been a long time, you know.
So. Yeah, that's true.
Any other loose ends to this episode that I'm forgetting?
You know, I thought it was interesting that they did not mention Catherine once.
Oh,
that's right.
Did you guys hear anything? Because like I was actually looking forward to, you know, knowing what Catherine has been up to. They didn't even have a scene with her.
Yeah, what was she doing at the very end of the last season?
She just left, remember?
Yeah, she just left after giving Damon the cure. She told Elena that it's okay to love both men because she did.
Oh, that's right.
And then she left.
She's on the run, and they know. And I think Klaus said something like, we'll find her. You know what I mean? Like, he wasn't worried that she was out there. Because I think they know she's going to hide for a bit.
That's true. So maybe she's just not going to be a big presence in this this season. Maybe Klaus is going to be the focus. But I did find it surprising that they didn't even give her a mention because, you know, I wonder what she's up to. Like, I wonder, you know, if she's going to play any big role, and we didn't see anything about her, so
I'm sure we'll see her at some point in the season.
Yeah,
I think so too. I think Catherine's gonna come back. We love the Catherine walk. We love the Catherine look. the Catherine everything. I love seeing Nina Dobrev play both sides, because I'm sure it gets boring to be, you know, she's gonna get tired of searching for Stefan, you know. or falling for Damon, or whatever is going to happen to Elena this season. Right. But it's hard to believe she's 18 and all of this has happened, right?
Yeah, and you know, they don't, of course, there's nothing, no mention of school or anything. Like, I think last time,
who cares?
We talked about, like, did they graduate? Did they even, like,
last episode.
I don't think they did. Yeah, I mean, Alaric said that, you know, he's a role model in the classroom, but in his own life, he's a mess, per se. But, you know, I think school is just irrelevant now. It's like, but I don't know. I loved that a lot of our Facebook users really loved this first episode of The Vampire Diaries as well. Like, Jess and Chrissy and Kathy all really wrote really positive things. And most people just, like, thoroughly enjoyed Caroline's character. Which is such a change from when, I don't know, Vampire Diaries was first starting in the season one. Like, Caroline was so annoying. now she's, like, one of my favorite characters because, you know, she's just so badass now.
Yeah.
So I hope she's okay.
Oh, I know. Me too. One can only hope. We're on the Caroline death watch again. So, ready to cross your fingers that she'll be okay. All right. Well, I guess the next episode is called Hybrid, and it sounds to me like, and from the previews, we see that Klaus is trying to make an army.
Yeah, he did give what's his face, Ray, his blood. He made him drink.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. And killed him, so he's going to be both. So he'll have the werewolf in him, and then now he'll be part vampire. So always these armies. Are wanting to be
always
made,
with
right?
the armies.
Twilight. Everybody want these
and
armies.
Russell and his army.
That's true. That's true. Very true. So I don't know. I'm looking forward to the next episode. I think it's going to be good. They've started off well, and congrats to Vampire Diaries crew, cast, everybody for coming back and killing it basically on that first episode. Very excited. So sorry for all those that have already died, the side characters that have already died. Okay, before we wrap up, there's just a couple emails we got. This one is from Jeannie, who says, "Hi, Eileen, Lynn, Stephanie, Shannon, and Josh. During the recap of the season finale of True Blood, you mentioned that Lafayette would not be able to help Tara because he's only a medium, but he isn't. Remember, Marnie forced Jesus's blood into his body to take in the demon head thing and its power. Who knows what he may be able to do now? Could be."
Oh, that's
like,
right. You know what? Yeah.
Forgot
I remember.
That.
Yeah. And then remember at the end of that episode, Jesus said, "I will always be with you."
Uh-huh.
So,
that's true.
You know, that ties it together.
Could mean even more than the fact that just because he's a medium, he'll see
right.
it. Yeah, it might mean that, you know,
he's
a demon
brutal.
Blood is in you now, too. How do you like that?
Demon bro! And so she said, could be like Sookie being startled by what he can do. Never know. And she says, and yes, I'm one of those who like the season the best since season one. To her, I like the books better than the show. Everyone's different. Josh, what are you you're like, oh my God.
No comment.
And this is from Shelley, who says, for the first three seasons, I always rushed home on Mondays to watch the episode from the night before. This season, I actually had one episode where I waited for 2 weeks and then made myself watch. Such a bad season, very disappointed, and I'm not the only one who feels that way. My friends at work also feel this way. I'll say that the last two episodes were mostly better, but not enough to save the season. So this is the opposite side of Jeannie's response. The two best things all season were that Bill was great as king, and that whiny Tara is finally killed.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Oh.
Good riddance. Waiting since season two for her to get gone. I don't think she's really dead. Or if she is, she might be a vampire. I hated the whole hokey fairy storyline. It all looks so stupid. Alan Ball took one of the fans' favorite storylines from the books, Sookie and Eric, and just makes it a big corny joke. I felt like the writers just on the fans. The Vampire Diaries has way surpassed True Blood in its writing. Not sure if I will even watch next season. Will not be buying season four for sure.
I'll watch next season.
Yeah, I mean, give it till next season.
If I were a DVD collector, I'm not sure if I would buy
season four
either, but I would definitely still watch season five.
I have to agree with that. So from one extreme to another, that is the True Blood season as we know it. So, all right, everybody. Well, thank you very much for listening. We'll have another recap of the Vampire Diaries next week for their second episode of the third season. And, you know, if you have more input on the finale of True Blood, let us know. You can always go to our Facebook page or on Twitter or on our website, wherever you want to tell us, let us know, or email us, biteclubshow@gmail.com. So I guess that's it. And thank you very much for joining us this week. Bye.
Bye. Bye.